Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We believe the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. We are live 6 days a week. On the seventh, we take a rest. All right, a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast is in order. We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org. We talked about Senator Mike Lee forces the Democrats to correct the record. False impeachment testimony, Bob Unruh, WND.com with the piece. And I guess what happened is that they lied about Mike Lee, and they claimed he said this and that about Trump, and he didn't say it, and there's no other witnesses. And Mike Lee says that's a bogus lie, and they were forced to retract. And they didn't want to because it got egg all over their face. Kind of inconsequential, though, because the Democrats have been lying all over the place. Democrats blunder over a tweet of the impeachment hearing. They inappropriately changed Calvary to Cavalry. Author Jennifer Lawrence contends they did it on purpose. Do you understand that let me get this right. Calvary, I guess, is a prayer, right? It's an attempt to turns towards Jesus Christ. That's a prayer vigil. Do you understand the difference between Calvary and Cavalry? One's riding in on a horse. The other one's kind of a prayer idea. And well, she went to the Capitol and they were involved in a prayer event and the Democrats changed it. How do we know they changed it on purpose, you say? Because not only do they do that, they changed her account. Her account doesn't have a blue check mark on it. She says, I'm not that popular. But they put a blue check mark on the account of hers they put on the screen. Because if you put a blue check mark, it's kind of a certified account, has greater, quote, legal ramifications. Very interesting statements there. But they got caught with Mike Lee. They got caught with her. It gets worse. Why? Because Jonathan Turley, they said he believed in this, backwards or whatever you want to call it, look back impeachment idea. And he says, you know what? You guys, I talked about this 21 years ago, and you act like it's recent. You're lying. This is bogus. By the way, if you guys are going to, take my comments out of context from 21 years ago and pretend they're relevant or, recent, then why don't you take my pictures when I was thin from 21 years ago and use those as well? He mocks them at their own game. Don't impeach Trump. Impeach the deep state for its conspiracy to kill the Constitution, says John Whited. Let's impeach the deep state. And let's impeach these government operatives who literally are trying to push us towards a civil war. They've got to be stopped, says John Whited. Man, John Whited, good guy. The impeachment trial is motivated by hate, not by the law, Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. South Dakota legislature may rebuke and review Biden's executive orders. They may just say, you know what? Not in our state. I pray they do that. South Dakota is doing a better job than almost any other state right now, at least when it comes to the Constitution. Deaths of the elderly who recovered from COVID-19 but died after taking the vaccine raise lots of questions that nobody's willing to talk about or answer. Cuomo admits they hid nursing home data so feds wouldn't find out about it. Got caught doing that. And what's funny is Cuomo was the one that mocked what Ron DeSantis of Florida saying, can we trust his numbers? Now Cuomo fudged the numbers, afraid of what the government would do. Bottom line is, now there's both sides of the aisle asking for the resignation of Cuomo. I would have asked for his resignation a long time ago on different matters, but there you have it. Anyway, study finds the CDC inflated the numbers by 1,600%, and they say they violated federal law multiple times. Hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live. We had our guest on, Dr. Scott Bradley. To preserve the nation is his goal. His website, Freedom's Rising Sun. We talked about what we've learned and why we will still dig USA Today, and they pretend they're getting to the bottom of the riots, but they're really protecting Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the liberal side of the equation. A contrasting article is in the New American. Who were the vandals? C. Mitchell Shaw, the New American, great article that breaks down the criminality of the left, the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, the rioters. They were not all Donald Trump supporters. You were lied to by the media, and now the evidence is coming out. They won't admit it, but facts are facts and videos, video and truth is truth, and arrests are arrests, and ties are ties, and money trails matter. Ron Paul says, reset to what? There's so much talk lately about the big reset. We better not reset. We'll have a tyranny on our hands. There's an ill wind in the land. Solutionless, turn our hearts to God, family, and country. Courage is contagious. You know, Scott Bradley's wife is the one that said that. There's an ill wind in the land. There's no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, that evil is prospering at an alarming rate. And when good men do nothing, evil prospers. We better stand up and get involved and turn to God and promote family and country. And we better do it fast, I tell you what. The fraud of climate change and the drive for control, American Policy Center, AmericanPolicy.org. Yeah, they are going to push the environment to the brink, that's for sure. All right. That's a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. Still available online at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. News the networks refuse to use today. And by the way, we're live 6 days a week on the 7th we rest. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. And man, I just got back last night from an incredible event at Liberty Hall. We had a Valentine's dinner. It was delightful, delicious food, incredible entertainment. And Kate Daly was one of the key speakers, fellow talk show host. Man, she's a gifted speaker, I'll tell you what. Sheriff Mack, welcome to the broadcast. You know Kate Daly, right?
I don't think so.
Hold on, let me pop you up here. Yeah, Kate Daly is a syndicated Fox syndicated talk show host. The Kate Daly Show, I syndicate her show along with many others. She's from St. George. You've been on her show before.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Kate now as soon as you said St. George, yes, I sure have.
Anyway, Kate Daly was the speaker of last night's event. It was a focus on the new program they have, Loving Liberty Ladies, is the tab on the lovingliberty.net website. And it's a whole new program to have ladies educate one another and their children about the principles of liberty. It's an incredible partnership with the Constitutional Studies. What's it called? The Center for Constitutional Studies.
Oh,
that's what it's called.
Yes. Right.
Anyway, and they got an incredible partnership and a new program. If you go to that tab on the lovingliberty.net website, look for the Loving Liberty Ladies, then you could download a lot of the lessons on that for free. Very cool stuff going on. So they released that new program, and they had Kate Daly speak, and they had a couple of other ladies speak and sing and promote that program. It was entertainment. It was great program, man. We had good food, too, Sheriff. You would have liked it.
Oh, I'm sure I would have loved that part. Yeah, no, I would have loved the whole thing, though. I didn't want to insinuate I wouldn't have. In fact, I've been wanting to have a kind of a training seminar there.
Hey, we can work on that. We can make that happen. I'll tell you that. Anyway, Liberty Hall is a wonderful place. And they got a George Washington statue there, and it's a replica of Liberty Hall. It's really cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and we also ought to talk about, speaking of that, let's focus for a couple of hours on the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Because from time to time, we talk about where you're traveling, what you're doing. We make references to what we're doing behind the scenes and talk about it on the radio some, but not near enough. And so I want to take today, really, and make this broadcast about the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And the quick summary to kind of get us rolling is, Sheriff Richard Mack was an average cop. In fact, he calls himself a jerk cop. and he learned to understand, though, about people's lives, and really, the heart of Richard Mack kind of came to the forefront. And he said, why am I treating people like this? There's a better way. And he went on a quest to find a better way. And in doing so, he discovered the Constitution. He discovered his oaths of office, or his oath of office. He discovered his relationship with the public, really, and realized it was different than he had understood before and different than he had really been taught. And it changed him. And he changed as a police officer, and then he also went and ran for sheriff, and by golly, strange enough, he won, shockingly. You served, what, 2 terms as sheriff?
Yes, 8 years.
8 years, 2 terms as sheriff. And he, in my opinion, set forth a legacy never to be forgotten in his 2 terms as sheriff. He not only won, stood up for our right to keep and bear arms and beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. That's pretty noteworthy. Bill Clinton said he was going to toss the good sheriff in jail, and it didn't work out that way. Because, you know what, there's this thing called the law. Just so Bill knows that. And I digress, except to say that he also learned a valuable lesson about how to treat people, how to deal with people that you completely disagree with, right? And that was a very interesting quest for the good sheriff. And he wrote a lot of books along the way. He went to the Supreme Court along the way. He was a sheriff. And then after he ended his sheriffship, is that a word? It is now. After he ended his sheriffship, he's been writing books and educating people across the country, the public about the role of the sheriff, and educating sheriffs about their oaths of office, their duty, and how we can all work together for peace and prosperity in the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we'll dig in further in seconds with a good sheriff, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org, on your radio.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm telling you, the good sheriff wrote a lot of books along the way. And he most importantly has traveled around the country speaking and educating two groups primarily, the public, we the people, and sheriffs. Sheriffs and public officials, etc., about their relationship to one another, about their roles, their duties, and most importantly about the oath of office and about the proper role of government in relation to the incredible checks and balances that exist across the country. That's been literally his life's quest for, let's see, how long would it be the last, after being sheriff, 25 years?
Yes, it started right when I started the lawsuit, which was 1994.
And your knowledge and waking up as a police officer started what, in the early 90?
83.
83 is when he woke up as a constitutional advocate, and when he kind of understood who he was and what his relationship to the public would be as a public servant. And so very, very interesting career. 83, 93, 103, 113, 30, what, 7 years kind of a thing?
Yeah, I started in law enforcement at Provo while I was working my way through college. So I was a meter maid in 77, and then graduated from BYU, and then I went home for a year, worked at a local college, and then came back and started my full-time police career in 1979.
Wow.
And then I got converted to the Constitution in 83.
And it's been a heck of a ride, to say the least. I don't know if my summary is very adequate, but I don't want to spend too much time on the history, because that's a lot of what your presentations are about. You do a very good job with PowerPoint presentations, kind of really getting people into your head, your heart, your mind, what was happening, helping people kind of understand the context and the narrative and the relationships that changed your life and the support that you had along the way. And anyway, it's a riveting story, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, we ought to make a movie about it, but I digress. I want to talk now about the events and the seminars that we've literally done over the years. I've been involved in most of them. They've been really incredible events. And I want to say this on the onset. Every event we've done, we've felt the hand of Almighty God in our events, from the raising money to the planning to who can attend to when we get there, what happens in the feeling of liberty in the room, all the way through to the post-event breakdown of, hey, how do we do? What can we do better next time? You know, the Spirit of the Lord, you can feel it as we work on this stuff. And that's why I stay involved, Sheriff.
Yeah, that's a very true statement. It's been very spiritual. It's been very patriotic. You could feel the spirit of freedom, which is the Spirit of God, at every one of the events. They've been very heartwarming, and they've been very motivational, and and I have to keep going back to this. The first one, especially, the miracle of raising $120,000 to pay for the airfare and hotel for every single sheriff from all across the country, which was right about 95 sheriffs, and we still have a picture of that. In fact, that picture just came out in our new pamphlet, where there's about 55 sheriffs. Not all of them participated in the photo, but I love that photo, and it just brings back fantastic memories of literally bumping into each other. Several people commented to me, I felt somebody bump into my elbow or my shoulder, and I turned and nobody was there, and I swear it was a founding father. I had that experience personally, and it literally brought a tear to my eye, and several people commented that this was the most spiritual and patriotic meeting they'd ever been to, and these are people who've been in the freedom movement for their entire lives, just about, and it was amazing, but still, that is, the spirit has been in the room. The spirit of freedom, the spirit of the founding fathers, the spirit of God has been in every room that we've had those. But I haven't had the experience of bumping into somebody and then somebody not being there when I turned to look to see who it was. And that I totally felt that it was the founding father. I think I've had that twice. I think it happened in St. Charles. But I know it happened at the first one in Las Vegas.
All right. Now, let's talk about the Las Vegas one for a second. And you know what? If you look for Sheriffs Will Be Backed by Americans, Sam Bushman, you'll find my speech at that event. My speech was only about 10 and a half minutes long. But I submit to you that speech really relates to the relationships that the public can have with the sheriffs. And I think that's really important to understand who we are as people. Look, the sheriffs are elected and work for us. That doesn't mean we need to treat them unkindly or inappropriately. It also doesn't mean that they can lord over us. There's a balance there that we need to work hard to achieve. But the reason I focus so much on the Vegas event, Sheriff, is because it really, before that, a lot of work had been done, but that kicked off an escalation of our training and our efforts. I don't know if the right word is escalation, but it was certainly a kickoff. It was taking the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. It really launched us to the next level. And what I find fascinating about this is several things. One, the feelings in the rooms that we go to and where we train and everything else. But in Vegas, we took a gamble, ladies and gentlemen. You know what's interesting? In this gambling mecca, we took a gamble on America, saying, you know what? We're going to go across the country. We're going to pray hard. We're going to work our guts out. And we're going to see if Americans will back sheriffs. Will they put in the money that it takes to do the training all over the country? Will they put in the hard work, blood, sweat, and tears to make all this happen? Will we learn to de-escalate the role of the sheriff when it comes to relationship with the people, but escalate or advance the sheriff's understanding of his oath of office and his ability to erect the barriers and rely on the checks and balances that our founding fathers were so well known for and gave their lives and their sacred fortunes for? Will this happen? And we took a big gamble back then to even have that event, sir.
Yeah, it was. It was a big, was it a gamble. First of all, we decided to try to do it within about 2.5 months. And we literally started in November and got it all ready by January 30th, I believe. That's the day we met.
Yes, 30th and 31st.
Yeah. And so we could even say we put it together in 3 months. Okay, so let's say three. So maybe we started at the end of October, but once we really got going, it was the first part of November, and we had so many people volunteer to help, and they did, and we asked others to join with us, and we got it all organized, and everybody came together. And then after the event, there were splinter groups that wanted to take over doing events after that, and a couple of ladies that were on the committee that kind of fudged on a few things, tried to steal the entire CSPOA. They sent letters and emails to sheriffs all over the country saying that we had been dissolved and that they were starting a new one. And then another splinter group said they just wanted to take over doing the seminars from then on. And I just told everybody, I just said, hold, wait a minute. We just had this amazing miracle. And everybody admitted that. Everybody, even the splinter groups and some of them were being dishonest about it. All of them said that the event was such a miracle and so praiseworthy and praise God for the whole event. And I just said to everybody, look, we just came through an amazing miracle. Why don't we just try to see if we can do another one before we start all this splintering and trying to take over stuff? But anyway, nobody really listened, and you and I and others just went back to work and did another event the following September. And it was fantastic. But several of our people that worked on the first one, we never worked with them again.
And here's what's fascinating. You know, we've done a lot of smaller trainings. I'm going to call them state or regional trainings.
Mm-hmm.
But the two biggest events we did were the Vegas one and the St. Charles outside of St. Louis, Missouri event.
Right.
That one was a huge one. And now we're about to kick off another one, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I shouldn't say about. We're kicking off another one that you probably haven't heard of, but it's happening in Texas, just outside of Houston. And it's happening on February the 26th and the 27th. We've already got it up and rock and rolling. It's already up on the CSPOA.org website. Check it out. The public can attend on Friday. It's a two-day event. And we got a lot of great speakers. I want to talk about all this, folks. And I want to talk about the details. We're going to spend both hours on this, ladies and gentlemen. This topic is worthy of your focus. CSPOA.org. I'm Sam Bushman, Richard Mack. Riding shotgun on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News.
Former President Trump's impeachment trial could come to a vote this weekend. The Senate meeting today to call witnesses and hear closing arguments. It doesn't look like Trump will be convicted. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz telling Fox News this week why he'll vote to acquit.
The House managers, they have not proven their case. To prove their case, they have to demonstrate that President Trump committed a high crime or misdemeanor. That's the constitutional standard. And what they've attempted, what they've alleged in the articles of impeachment is incitement. In 2 days, in 16 hours of presenting their case, they haven't come remotely close to demonstrating that President Trump's conduct violated the law, that it constituted incitement.
Defense lawyers yesterday calling Trump the victim of a political witch hunt fueled by the Democrats' hatred of him. A moment of unity after Friday's impeachment process. Capitol Police Officer Eugene Goodman awarded the Congressional Gold Medal for leading protesters away from the Senate chambers the day of the riot last month. This is USA Radio News.
For 3 years, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and the MyPillow Premium Pillow and how I get the best night's sleep of my life, how they don't go flat. They are washable and dryable and made in the USA. And it continues the MyPillow Premium Pillow special for Mike Lindell. A standard or queen size premium MyPillow, $29.98. You're saving $40. King size pillows, only $5 more. 60 day money back guarantee, 10 year warranty, made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. And while you're at MyPillow.com, check out all the deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products. MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
There are questions about just how many schools would reopen under the new CDC guidelines. The CDC yesterday unveiling a color-coded chart districts can use when deciding when or how much to reopen. New York Medical College professor Dr. Bob Lahita tells CBS News he supports the new guidelines.
This is a very good guide, I think, at least it's some sort of a guide.
CNN, though, reporting that 99% of children currently live in the chart's red zones, meaning areas where COVID transmissions are highest. The CDC recommends schools in those zones remain closed or offer hybrid learning. CNN also says less than 100,000 children in the U.S. live in blue zones where transmission rates are at their lowest and schools could fully reopen. New York State senators meeting Friday to discuss removing Governor Andrew Cuomo's emergency powers. Cuomo facing a backlash for underreporting COVID nursing home deaths. One source tells Politico it's almost a slam dunk the governor will lose the powers he has had for almost a year. The coronavirus leading to changes at the Australian Open tennis tournament. No fans allowed at matches until Thursday at the earliest due to a lockdown in the Melbourne area that started Friday night. This is USA Radio News.
All right, live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. 6 days a week on the Sabbath, we rest. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell your neighbor. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, absolutely. Live and on demand and free. The good Sheriff Richard Mack with me, CSPOA.org. And we're talking about an event coming up on February the 26th and 27th, Friday and Saturday. It's going to be an incredible event just outside of Houston, Texas. And I just can't let go of the feeling in the room when you attend. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you this. It shocks people because the feeling of liberty is so strong. When people stand up and speak about the principles that made America great, about our responsibilities as Americans and sheriffs and police officers and local officials and the relationship we should have with one another, it's a synergistic event like you have never experienced. I'm telling you right now. And I want to say that even our enemies sometimes sneak into our conferences and come to them. People in the media, people in the Southern Poverty Law Center, who knows where. We don't really care because we're not doing or saying anything that crosses the line anyway, okay? But what happens is they come at first with an agenda to, I don't know what you want to say, expose us, uncover what's really going on or whatever they do. And they leave going, those guys are pretty good patriotic people. There's really nothing to report here, huh? And they half the time don't even do the stories they come with the intention to do. Sometimes they attack us, but most often if they really learn who we are, look the good sheriff in the eye, shake our hands, rub shoulders with us, and they really open their hearts, they leave different people. and they change their agenda most of the time for the reason they even come to the event in the first place, Sheriff. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah, that's true, and you're absolutely correct, Sam. We have invited everybody to attend. Any media who wants to attend are welcome to attend. We do have a kind of some rules that, you know, they can't interrupt the proceedings and try to do interviews and whatnot while people are supposed to be in class. You know,
although they can class, respectfully but, do interviews if they ask and they politely,
oh, yeah.
you know, work with people. We'll set that up. We're not saying they can't do it. We're just saying you can't do it disruptively.
Right. And during breaks, they can talk to whomever they want. And they have a few times. Most of them have not been coming to any of them lately because I think they've seen there's just nothing to see there that's going to be newsworthy or earth-shattering, you know, or they're going to
expose somebody. Well, and let me stop you there because there's plenty that's newsworthy. There's plenty that's earth-shattering.
Yeah,
just not in what their agenda is or what they're looking for.
Right,
correct.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we wish they would.
Because really, if they would tell the tale of what we're doing in America, if they would really talk about your Supreme Court case, one of the greatest 10th Amendment cases in modern history, if they would really highlight the reality, it is incredibly newsworthy and valuable. And it would bring people together. And maybe not unite everyone, but there would be civility like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
Okay, and that's really, in my mind, the story that needs to be told out of these.
Right. So, anyway, I really feel that if anybody would attend, I don't care, SPLC, Democrats, Rhino Republicans, if anybody would attend, I don't believe they would leave there the same way, especially sheriffs that are looking and saying, what should we do? What really is my job, and how can I better serve the people in my county? I don't believe anybody will ever come to one of these conventions and leave the same. No way. Oh, and you left something out earlier. Yes, you gave about a 12-minute talk, and it was one of the best talks I've ever heard. And during that first convention, the very first one that you did speak at, you got the most resounding standing ovation I've seen in a long time. Certainly at that event, it was the most resounding. And you really kicked off the spirituality and the level of spirituality and the focus that really was so necessary for that first meeting. And it was a key to the whole thing happening the way it did.
Well, I certainly don't take any credit for being a spiritual giant of any kind, but I do know where to look for solutions. I do know where to go for peace and comfort and strength and guidance. And I think that's what we all need to take away from this. But I want to talk a little bit about the event and what we do so people kind of get an understanding of the events. What usually happens is we have speakers who educate one another on incredible topics that are necessary. We usually have an opening prayer, a pledge of allegiance. Sometimes we have a little bit of entertainment. You know, it's all mixed together. We eat together, we pray together, we debate and discuss together. Sometimes it's a round table of open topics where people can speak together. We have different initiatives for our different events. So one event we had is a constitutional sheriffs and peace officers resolution that we put together. We did that one time, and sheriffs got the chance to weigh in, and constitutional attorneys and sheriffs partnered, and the public had the chance to put some information in. I actually had a little small hand in some of it, too, and we worked on and crafted this resolution about the responsibilities of those whom we elect, and that went very well. Thousands of people signed that resolution, and it was the crafting of it and the education that went along the way of the crafting of that that really benefited sheriffs that time.
Yeah, no question about it. And we saw, though, even after the first one, we saw a changing of the guard, so to speak. We saw a change of attitude. Even people who weren't there, sheriffs that did not attend, the sheriffs that heard about it, and the press that it got and the attention that it got within the Patriot movement in America, really just... It changed the landscape of the entire country in so many respects, especially sheriffs running for or sheriff candidates running for office. And this has come up how many times in how many sheriff races across the country since then? Are you a constitutional sheriff? Will you be a constitutional sheriff when you are put into office? Admittedly, many candidates didn't know what they were talking about. But on the other side of that coin, many of those candidates started checking into it, and they started calling us, and they started calling you, and they started to find out what this was all about. And it has created an atmosphere now across the country of, man, I need to know what it is to be a constitutional sheriff. Or this other one, I need to say I'm a constitutional sheriff, whether I am or not, or whether they really understand what that means. You know,
and
so,
they also have taken elements of that resolution. I'm telling you, it's a 10-point, I don't have it in front of me, or 8-point, 9-point, I don't have it, but resolution with some real incredible language that relates to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the relationships we have, and that's why I kind of spend some time talking about the public and sheriffs and elected officials, and it talks about our relationships and our obligations and our duties. And what you see in a lot of these campaigns now is they're taking pieces of that resolution and literally making those line items in their campaigns of things they'll do or things they won't do or et cetera. I mean, that's been amazing to watch, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. And I'll tell you what, we've come a long way and we've achieved a great deal, but it still seems like in so many ways we haven't even scratched the surface yet. And so that's quite the dichotomy, because it has been a tremendous success in so many ways, but we don't have nearly the amount of sheriffs that we need yet to make this thing work. And I was talking this week with a sheriff from Massachusetts. He's been to at least one or two of our conferences before. I think he's been to two, plus a press conference that we held for Senator Sessions, who completely turned his back on me after that. But anyway, I lost a lot of respect for Senator Sessions, who was later the Attorney General of the United States. And I think he treated Trump the same way he treated me, and that ended his job as AG. So Tom Hodson was the sheriff, and we were discussing this about how he's going to try to make it on the 26th to the Houston event. And I say Houston, but it's called the Woodlands. And that's the name of the town where we're at, the Woodlands.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the St. Louis, St. Charles thing. A lot of people would, if you say St. Charles, well, there's a lot of St. Charles's.
Right.
And people don't know where that is. And so if we say, hey, the one in Vegas or the one outside of St. Louis or the one in Houston, it gives people an idea. But you're right. It's in Woodlands, which is, what, 15, 20 minutes away from the Houston, depending on which airport you go to, right?
Right. And maybe 30 minutes. I've heard 25 minutes. I've heard 30, but...
Depends on who's driving, Sheriff.
Yeah, it depends on who's driving. It depends on traffic of the day, for sure. But Sheriff Hodson said this. We were going through all these horrible things going on in the country. And in Massachusetts, sheriffs don't have a lot of police authority. And he said, the sheriffs can stop all of it. All of the abuse in America related to COVID and anything else, he said the sheriffs can stop it.
And what you got to think of, vertical and horizontal checks and balances, erecting the barriers. Hang tight, the good sheriff in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, talking about important topics of interest. So we're having an event at the Woodlands right outside of Houston, Texas. And it's February the 26th and 27th. You want to learn more? You want to attend? You want to read up on it? You want to donate liberally, add zeros, if you will, to your donation? It's only zeros, ladies and gentlemen. CSPOA.org is the place to go. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. CSPOA.org. You can become a member. It'll get you a discount on the attendance. And, you know, people are saying, well, why does it cost money? Because, man, we've got expensive hotel stuff. You know, where do we have a place to gather? And anyway, there's a lunch and a dinner, and there's live entertainment. And so you really need to be involved, ladies and gentlemen. This is an opportunity to learn and to grow and to rub shoulders with some of the best people on the planet. And the spirit in the room is incredible. And so, as I was mentioning, these events have themes. One time we focused on an incredible resolution. This time, we're focusing on what, Sheriff? What's the big push this time?
The push is we've got to do more. We've got to raise the bar. We've got to take this to the next level. And because of all the horrible things going on in our country today, time is of the essence, commitment is of the essence, and taking this further is essential. And we've got to do that. And we've got to get more sheriffs. So the sheriffs that are going to be attending, it will be, the whole thing will be, once you are converted, go convert your fellow man and your fellow sheriffs and county commissioners. And we're getting more county commissioners and other public officials to this one than we've ever had at any other event. We want county commissioners and border supervisors and judges, and this will be the one time that we're having that. More than any other conference. And maybe it's just because it's Texas and everything's bigger there. I don't know. But
and it's
this
because we want people to understand the appropriate, as I mentioned right before the pause, this vertical and horizontal separation of powers. We do want the separation of powers, but we also want coordination, though. We want them to work together in meaningful ways, and they have a check and balance on each other that's valuable, and we're working towards that. Now, when we speak of doing more, raising the bar, I agree 100% with that. And the reason that we need to do that is because, look, folks, your rights are not like a book burning where we can just toss every one of them on the bonfire in the name of saving everyone from themselves. Okay? We have got to step back and say, wait a minute, rights are God-given. Natural law has consequences. And we need to uphold these natural laws. We need to stand by these rights that are non-negotiable, inalienable. Okay, we need to really focus on these things. And I think sheriffs in the past have kind of been, yeah, I'm the sheriff. Don't try to teach me anything. I know what's going on. Leave me alone. I'm already a good guy. And they're right about that. Where they may not be right is kind of like when the good cop says I was kind of a jerk cop. Where they're not right oftentimes is they haven't really taken the time to understand the origins of the greatest country on the face of the earth and the painstaking efforts that our founders went to and gave their lives and their fortunes and the sacred honors to this idea that we have these separations of power. So, Sheriff, you might be a great guy, but your oath of office, your role, your duty, your obligations, they're not negotiable. And it's important that you not only become great at being a day-to-day police officer, you know, good at stopping crime and excellent at keeping the peace and whatever. It's more than that. It's about understanding your oath. It's about understanding your duties. It's about appropriately carrying out the checks and balances in a meaningful way. And a great example of that is, you know, George Washington became president, and then he could have been king, and he just walked away. And it's that kind of humility and that kind of understanding and that kind of dedication to the cause that we're looking for, Sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Well, good point. And we have, I think, done something. I really want to focus on you a minute on all of this, because you're right about each one having their own signature and their own personality, if you will, and the feeling in the room was still powerful in each one, but even that was different to varying degrees. And I want to focus on one thing for a minute, maybe till the top of the hour on this one. I'm not sure how long it'll go, but I think everybody needs to know your involvement in this, and that you've been the most amazing volunteer that has stuck with us through this entire thing, you and Tanya. And Tanya has her own story that's amazing with this too, but I think your story with your involvement with CSPOA needs to be told and needs to be out there, because you have never been paid for your involvement in this. And a lot of times, you've never even been reimbursed for your travel expenses or for the other time that you've spent. And I think not only is that amazing, but the thing of it is, for somebody to stick with this for over 10 years in a volunteer manner, the rule of thumb on that is most volunteers won't stay very long if they don't really get some sort of something's in it for me. And what you and Tanya and maybe just one or two others volunteers, but I think you and Tanya are the only ones that have really stuck through this since the very beginning. You're the only two. And I think it bears repeating. I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything else. What I'm trying to do is make a point, is that you and Tanya have been converted to what we've been doing. You have seen firsthand the necessity of what we're doing, but also the success of what we've been doing. And I think that has taken your conversion to what we've been doing to the next level, and that you've never wavered one iota in participating with what we're doing. And what I want every listener to understand is that your testimony of what we have been doing is, to me, one of the most powerful aspects of the entire CSPOA movement, because you haven't wavered one iota. I've always been afraid and also expecting that you say, oh, I just can't do this anymore. Or, you know what, I've got a family to feed, and I've got two jobs, and I'm helping my kids, and so on and so forth. And
by the way, all those things are true.
boy, do I know it. And the thing of it is, you not only have kids that really need other things going on in their lives, you've involved about half of your kids in this, or maybe more, in what we're doing and what you're trying to do to volunteer to help. And so that now he's got his kids volunteering to help.
Now, let me tell you why this is, so people understand a little bit of the story. The feeling in the room is what I've mentioned. And I want to add to that a little bit, because you're right. You know what? We have put in a lot of hours. A few of my expenses have been covered, but I've put money and time and everything into this thing. And there's a reason why, and I want to be very clear. Number one, I have looked Richard Mack in the eye, and I've shaken his hand. I've spent time with him behind the scenes when the going gets rough. All right? When the media is attacking us, calling us terrorists and everything else. I've been behind the scenes with the good sheriff, and I know what his heart is. Okay, I know what it's like to deal with big money and have things go south and people withhold money and different things. Meaning, there was one time when PayPal basically yanked all of our funding, and thank heavens to a wonderful supporter who will remain nameless. But they saved the day. And I've been through that tough times. I've been involved in contract negotiations. I've been involved in all these things. And the Lord provides, number one. I just want to be very clear. The Lord provides, folks. I've seen it time and time and time again. And I've also seen the heart of the sheriff. He's far from a perfect man. I know less than his wife about that. I'm just telling you that he, you know what? He's human. He's not perfect. None of us are. However, he does have a heart of gold, and he is absolutely selflessly committed to this mission. And I don't do this to glad hand or to make somebody more important than they are. I tell you this because it's that stuff that keeps volunteers like me dedicated. Because here's what happens. I go to an event, and just listen to me. It's not about me being important, but I go to an event, and I have sheriffs walk up to me and literally give me a hug and say, thank you for what you're doing. The education you guys are putting together has changed my life. And my own sheriff at the time said, Sam, you know what? I was with you. I believed in a lot of what you had to talk about, but I always had a bit of hesitation. But when Michael Perutka came to the event and talked to me about pretend legislation and talked to me about, and he went on, and then he said, I'm 100% with you. It changed my understanding. It helped me realize my role and it clarified what I'm doing. Thank you for putting this on. And they give me a hug. Now, let me just ask you people something. This isn't about Sam and people walking up to me saying I'm important. This is about this. How many times do you see an elected official come to an average Joe like me? Because I'm a nobody, right? I mean, sure, I'm a talk show host and everything else, but and they come up to me and they give you a hug and they thank you for the work that you're doing. When was the last time a public official walked up to somebody that's just the average Joe and said, thank you for educating. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for all the work that you do. I've never seen it, Sheriff. And it isn't about me. I don't care if they're hugging me or you or Tanya or somebody else. What I'm talking about is when they humbly come to you and thank you for the service being provided, there is something there, sir.
Yeah, that's another great point, another offshoot of all of this. But that's why I say, bottom line, is if you come to this event, you will not leave the same. Even if you come hesitantly, and sometimes even antagonistically, that you want to come there and see how wrong it is, and you will not leave the same. And your good sheriff, way back when he came, gosh, what, 10 years ago, eight to nine years ago. And his comment was one of the best ones I've ever heard after he left. After he left, he said, I came in, I was about, 60, 70% on board. Now I'm 100% on board, and there will be some wavering on that afterwards, but the thing of it is, we want to start heading in that direction, and we're undoing decades of brainwashing in government, not just law enforcement, but in government nationwide, that we're just supposed to be following the rules and policies. And what happens when we get confused about policies and procedures and rule books is that the Constitution gets set aside, and we have forgotten the Constitution in this entire process. And the oath of office and true service and defense and making sure our people have a place to turn. And we have maintained that if the people have no place to turn for help and safety and liberty, then that will create a frustration that leads to violence. And we are doing everything we can to avoid that.
And that's why these public trainings and this education that we do across the country is peaceful in nature. It's about the proper role of constitutional government. It's about the supreme law of the land. It's about our oaths of office. It's about we the people working together and building relationships of trust. It's about de-escalating when necessary. It's about standing up when necessary. It's about all those human emotions wrapped up into who we are as the American people, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to take you behind the scenes next hour. The good sheriff gave me an assignment. I'm going to report back publicly on the radio about that assignment. What do you think? Should we do that? Is that crazy? This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. CSPOA.org, LibertyRoundtable.org, LibertyRoundtable.com, and LovingLiberty.org.